On today's program, we'll look at the virtues and we'll focus on the Mass readings for the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. I want you to stay tuned because it's coming up now. Hey there, happy Monday. Welcome to another week of the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's my pleasure to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. In reality, this show is being taped over the weekend because as you listen to this, I am in Birmingham, Alabama, taping five episodes of the television program, The Women of Grace with Jeanette Benkovic. I'll be headed back this evening, and I'll be back in town tomorrow. Just a quick trip to EWTN, but I wanted to give you a program tonight, so I recorded it over the weekend. Today is the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. It's a pretty mysterious-sounding feast, isn't it? It's a pretty big day in the eyes of the Church, though. It's not the highest holy day, which is a solemnity, but it's right below that. It's a feast. Because of that, we have a first reading. We have a psalm. We have a second reading today, as well as a gospel. We'll read those. Let me briefly tell you about this feast, the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. This basilica, the Lateran Basilica, is the cathedral of the Bishop of Rome, or the Holy Father. It was built during Constantine's reign and consecrated by Pope Saint Sylvester I, and celebrating this feast is a sign of love for and union with the See of Saint Peter. In other words, love and union with our Holy Father, who is now Pope Francis. That's what this feast is all about. So we're going to look at these readings, and in the second part of the program, we'll do our regular Monday feature, What Catholics Really Believe. Today, we'll begin a look at the virtues. I think sometimes the virtues can be a little confusing. We probably have heard of them, but we might not put enough emphasis on them. The virtues are really important. So we'll begin that discussion today. I want to give you a couple reminders that coming up in a few short weeks, we'll begin our Advent retreat right here on the program. We're going to be using a combination of material I mentioned last night. I have a book of readings that will give a little something to think about. Now, if you've been with me in the past on these Advent retreats, this book that I use is the Meditations from Advent through Lent. That's what the title of the book is. It was written in the mid-60s. And it is written by a sister and a priest. I'm assuming since they have the same last name that their brother and sister, but I don't know that for a fact. I think they wrote one other book for teachers. But I love this book because it's one of the most practical and understandable ways to prepare for Jesus that I've ever found. And, you know, I don't like a lot of fluff. I don't want to give you something that's not really going to help you during Advent. I want to make sure during the Advent season that you really are prepared to meet Jesus more intimately in your life. I need it to be real, otherwise I'm not doing my job. So we're going to use this, and you'll see these meditations, they're short, they're to the point, but I think they're very helpful. I might supplement them with some other material from different sources. We will read the daily Mass readings for Advent because they're fantastic. They're specifically designed to draw you closer to our Lord and to prepare for his coming. And also, we will pray the St. Andrew Novena on the show as well. Now, we talked about that briefly. I'll give you a little more insight to that as we get closer to it. And I was going back and forth on last night's program. Do I really have the time to pray the entire novena? But it's a little repetitious, but it's not really that long. And what I'll do is cut out the opening prayer because this is a powerful novena. I have seen miraculous events happen in my life because of this novena. It is not superstitious. It is not meant to be taken superstitious, but it's just a very good way to put your trust in the Lord, and I really believe it gives us special graces. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll tell you where you can get a hold of the Advent Novena, the St. Andrew Novena. It begins on November the 30th, and it runs throughout up until Christmas, the Novena itself, and we'll talk more about that as we go forward. But I really would encourage you to make a commitment to do this Advent retreat. It's so easy to get caught up in the Christmas shopping thing. And before you know it, Christmas is here. You completely forgot to prepare to welcome Christ into your life. And really, we really honestly and truly want to do that. We don't want to talk about this in a figurative way or a symbolic way. No, this is real. At Christmas time, if you look at your life now and you look at your life on Christmas Day, you want to see a difference in your relationship with Christ. You want to make it a point to get closer to Him. And a great way to do that is to read the Gospels each day, which is what we're going to be doing on the program. We're going to be doing the Gospels. We'll be doing other material as well. And even if you make a little progress and get a little teeny bit closer to Jesus, then your Advent was successful. And that's what it's all about. So I would encourage you to participate if you can. Hang out with me. God willing, I plan to be here. I'm going to be doing some traveling during the Advent season, but I will pre-record the program so that you have something. I'll be reachable, as always, through email. So no matter where I go, you can reach me through email at gary@followingthetruth.com. But I really, the reason I do this is because I really think you're going to get something out of it. So keep that in mind. The Advent retreat will begin here in a few short weeks on the program. So without further ado, since I have, oh, how could I forget this? I can't believe it. You ready? The beverage du jour. You've been waiting for this. Here we go. Oh boy. I need to have another sip. If you guessed Mystic Monk Candy Cane Coffee, you are correct. Yes, believe it or not, it showed up in the mail today. If you're a flavored coffee person, you've got to try Mystic Monk Candy Cane Coffee. Available at followingthetruth.com. Just look for the Mystic Monk image on the website. Click on it. It'll take you to the Mystic Monk website. It's delicious. Now, I also ordered some Jingle Bell Java, which is a really unique blend that the monks offer for Christmas. And I'm going to try that maybe on tomorrow's show, maybe on Wednesday's show. I'm not sure yet, but if you're in for a treat, if you order some Mystic Monk coffee, and I'd really recommend you do that today. When you order it through my website, followingthetruth.com, you help me out, you help the monks out, and you help yourself out. We all benefit from the deal. Followingthetruth.com, Mystic Monk Coffee. If you have friends on your list who are coffee lovers, such as yours truly, you know, if you know other people like Gary who love their coffee, you can really make them happy by getting some Mystic Monk Coffee. Make sure you try this out. You're not going to be disappointed. All right, without further ado, let's pray now, and then we'll get into our readings, followed by a look at the virtues. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We ask you to bless us and to bless our family members, to help us to be able to boldly proclaim our faith and to come closer to you, especially during the Advent season, which will begin soon. Father, we ask you to help the sick, help the lonely, help the anxious, help all those who are struggling. Those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction, those who are dealing with money-related problems, those who may be suffering from religious persecution, or those who are battling extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help all of those folks. Please accept our own personal intentions, whatever they may be. And Father, I give you this program, and I ask you to speak through me this day. I know you have a message for us. Please take over the show, speak through me, and open our minds and our hearts so that we may be able to receive your message. We ask this in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, ready to get started now? Thank you so much for tuning into the show. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to the podcast by going to blogtalkradio.com and doing a search on Gary Zimak, G-R-Y-Z-I-M-A-K, or you can look at, listen to them directly on my website, followingthetruth.com, as well as iTunes. If you have any problems at all, please let me know. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get started with these readings. Again, I mentioned at the start of the show, today as we celebrate the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, which is a celebration of our unity with the Holy Father. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, beginning in verse 1. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district, down upon the Arabah, and empties into the sea the salt waters which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Now, the main message that I would think you would need to get out of this first reading is the abundance of graces which flow from the church. We should be thankful that as Catholics we have a church. The primary way that we receive the grace that we need to get to heaven is through the church. So we want to be thankful this day for the gift of the church and the leadership of the Holy Father. It is a great blessing. So let's be thankful for that. Amen. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 46, "The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth." When I look at these words, "The Lord of hosts is with us," I'm reminded of the fact that we are so blessed in the Catholic Church to have our Lord and his real presence in the Eucharist. And furthermore, in addition to that, in addition to the fact that we have our Lord's real presence in the Eucharist, we have the teaching authority of the church. The church gives us the message of Jesus Christ. He is with us, and he's here to help us, because life is challenging, isn't it? How do we know what to do? How do we know what the right thing is for us to do in any number of situations? Well, we know through the teaching of the church, and it's a great blessing. And I think, again, this day is all about better appreciating this great blessing of the church. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, St. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. "Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it, but each one must be careful how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy." Now, the reminder here is that we are part of the church. And as a part of the church, it's very critical that we understand the relationship that we have with the other members of the church. Right? And it's very easy to forget that. We start to think that we are in this alone and that we might not be associated with the other members of the church. But we are. We are all together, part of the church, and the Lord is very close to us. He's near us, so much so that the church is the mystical body of Christ. So when you go to Mass, remember that, picture yourself, picture that there's a plane leading to heaven, right? A plane leading to heaven, and there's empty seats on the plane. There's a seat reserved for you in that plane. That plane is the body of Christ. And together, we travel. We're on this road going to heaven. Don't think of yourself as being isolated apart from the church. We are part of the church. And it gets a little complicated, and I don't want to overcomplicate it because I'm going to get confused. But just know that you're part of something very special. You're part of this mystical body of Christ, the church. The Gospel, John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found the temple area, those who sold, and he found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. Now, here we have a little bit of a misunderstanding of the words of Christ. The fact that the temple is not a building. So let's get back to that analogy of the airplane and the church. The church is not a bureaucracy. The church is not a building. The church is Jesus Christ. When the church speaks through the Holy Father and the bishops in union with the Holy Father, that's Christ speaking. And if we start to view it as the voice of one man, and this is, when the Pope is speaking on matters of faith and morals, if we view it as just a man, somebody who's out of touch with reality, and unfortunately that's what happens a lot of times, people look at the Pope, certain Catholics even, and they think, well, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. How can he tell me about matters such as birth control or gay marriage or anything like that? How does he know? What does he know about that? He has no right to tell me that. But when he is speaking authoritatively, he speaks on behalf of Christ. The church and Christ, they're the same thing. One of my favorite quotes, and I've used it often on this program, is St. Joan of Arc, when she said about the church and Jesus Christ, there's simply one thing, and we shouldn't confuse the matter. The church is the mystical body of Christ. And that's what we want to recognize today. We want to remember that when the church speaks, that is Christ that speaks. And if we believe that, then we're going to have a reverence and a love for the church. It might take some getting used to, because we live in a world where authority is not especially popular. People don't want to be told what to do. Therefore, some Catholics even don't want to listen to the church. Well, if you don't listen to the church, good luck getting to heaven. And it's a serious matter. I mean, it's nothing we want to take lightly. So today, let's try to have a greater love for the church. It's a great blessing. Life is hard enough. If I'm trying to make all my own decisions without forming my conscience by submitting it to the teachings of the church, I'm going to be in for a rude awakening one day when I get judged. I need all the help I can get. So let's be thankful that we have the great gift of the church. All right, speaking of the church, every Monday we've been walking through the teachings of the Catholic Church. I call this series What Catholics Really Believe, and we've been going through the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Last week we talked about conscience. Today we're going to continue on discussing the virtues. We'll begin a discussion on the virtues. And if you have a copy of the compendium, it's a pretty good book. It's I would recommend it. It's a nice supplement for the catechism. They complement each other nicely. It's a question and answer representation of the catechism of the Catholic Church offered by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB. And my copy, I guess I got it a few years ago, is $14.95. It's a paperback book. It's not an especially expensive book, but it's a really good book for learning the teachings of the Church. The virtues. Question 377, if you have the book at home. What is a virtue? You know, we hear the term all the time, but do we really know what a virtue is? A virtue is a habitual and firm disposition to do the good. St. Gregory of Nyssa stated that the goal of a virtuous life is to become like God. There are human virtues and there are theological virtues. So, and look, we're not going to try to keep this overly complicated. I'm going to simplify this as much as I can because I want you to understand this and not get carried away with a lot of verbiage. But a virtue is a disposition, a firm disposition to do good. To be holy. That's what the virtue is. What are human virtues? The human virtues are habitual and stable perfections of the intellect and the will that govern our actions, order our passions, and guide our conduct according to reason and faith. They are acquired and strengthened by the repetition of morally good acts, and they are purified and elevated by divine grace. Let's talk about the principal human virtues. The principal human virtues are called the cardinal virtues, under which all the other virtues are grouped, and which are the hinges of a virtuous life. The cardinal virtues are this: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Then we're going to go through each one of them, couple sentences, and talk about them. What is prudence? Prudence disposes reason to discern in every circumstance our true good, and to choose the right means for achieving it. Prudence guides the other virtues by pointing out their rule and measure. Prudence pretty much tells us how to act in any given situation. Should I hold back and tell somebody what they're doing is wrong? Should I wait for another time? Should I make it a one-on-one conversation? This is prudence. And prudence is really important. It's an important virtue, because telling somebody something at the wrong time might not be a good idea. What is justice? Justice consists in the firm and constant will to give to others their due. Justice toward God is called the virtue of religion. What is fortitude? Fortitude assures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. It reaches even the ability of possibly sacrificing one's own life for a just cause. In other words, fortitude, I mean, it's pretty much what you would think it is. It's that ability to remain strong even when things get difficult. And finally, the fourth cardinal virtue, temperance. What is temperance? Temperance moderates the attraction of pleasures, assures the mastery of the will over instincts, and provides balance in the use of created goods. Temperance involves holding back sometimes when your passions might want to go full speed ahead, right? Holding back, no matter what we're talking about. We don't want to go crazy. We don't want to go crazy indulging our passions, whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether it's smoking, no matter what it is. Passions can get us into trouble. It's not always sinful, but if you let your passions run wild, you could be in trouble, and you could end up committing a serious sin. Now, they are the principal human virtues. What are the theological virtues? Theological virtues have God himself as their origin, motive, and direct object, infused with sanctifying grace. So you get sanctifying grace with the theological virtues, and that's what allows you to be able to live with the Lord in heaven, to be holy, and to have a relationship with the Lord. They bestow on one the capacity to live in a relationship with the Trinity. They are the foundation of the energizing force of the Christian's moral activity, and they give life to the human virtues. They are the pledge of the presence and action of the Holy Spirit in the faculties of the human being. And what are the theological virtues? The theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. Now let's talk about each one of these. What is the virtue of faith? Faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and all that He has revealed to us, and that the Church proposes for our belief because God is truth itself. By faith, the human person freely commits himself to God. Therefore, the believer seeks to know and do the will of God because faith works through charity. Faith is the ability to believe that what God has revealed is true. So it's first, it's that ability, but it's got a twofold definition. There's two aspects to faith. And then it's the our decision to freely assent to what God has revealed and saying that it's true. In other words, I have the capacity to believe God's revelation, but then I have to say, yes, I believe. That combination is known as faith, and that's a gift. Now, that can grow throughout your life. We first receive the theological virtues when we are baptized. We get faith, we get hope, we get charity. But these can grow as we go throughout our lives. What is hope? Hope is the theological virtue by which we desire and await from God eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit to merit it and to persevere to the end of our earthly life. In other words, we look at heaven, we believe it, and we say, I can get there. Even if I feel like a sinner, I know with the help of Christ and that grace that flows through the church, it is possible for me to get to heaven. That's what hope is. And again, that's a gift. It's not wishful thinking. It is a gift that we get when we're baptized. And the final theological virtue is charity. Charity is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. Jesus makes charity the new commandment, the fullness of the law. It is the bond of perfection and the foundation of the other virtues to which it gives life, inspiration, and order. Without charity, I am nothing and I gain nothing. So even though you might find it difficult sometimes to love other people, especially when it's challenging. You know, we talked about it on Friday's show. Charity is the ability to do that. It's that gift from the Lord to be able to do that. And again, faith, hope, charity, even though we get these when we're first baptized, they can grow throughout our lives. We want to try to do things, pray, and certain actions to be able to increase these gifts in our lives. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent dispositions which make us docile in following divine inspirations. There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. We are not going to go into each one of these, but that's what they are. We have certain gifts of the Holy Spirit that help us to be holy. And finally, what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The fruits of the Holy Spirit are listed, or generally accepted as being 12. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Now, if you are exhibiting any of these traits in your life, then you can credit the Holy Spirit. They are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can help you to become better at doing all of these things. Now, next week, we're going to stop here. Next week, we'll start a look at sin. But for today, just remember the virtues, and that really is a goal for us. We want to live a virtuous life, and we do that with the help of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful graces that we receive through the church. So let's be thankful today for the gift of the church, so that we can rise above our sinful human nature, because by ourselves we can't do anything good, but with the Lord's help we can do all things. Now, I'm just about out of time, so I'm going to take off for right now. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Tomorrow we'll look at the imitation of Christ, as we do every Tuesday on the program. And thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful night. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Take care.